Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to get you ready for conference championship action is Chris Andrews, sportsbook director at the South Point. He is also the author of an amazing book, Then One Day, 40 Years of Bookmaking in Nevada. You can follow him on Twitter at Andrews Sports. Chris, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me. By the way, Rob, I mentioned my second book is out now, too.
Okay, certainly mention that.
Why not? Then One Year. It was the year of 2020, following a year in the life of a bookmaker. Of course, nobody ever knew what was going to happen in 2020 as far as COVID and everything else. Supposed to be like a whimsical kind of book, but it was not. But the sales have been really good, and everybody that's read it is like that, taking you through like a crazy year and from the eyes of a bookmaker.
Well, Chris, you just sold yourself one book right here and me, because I absolutely loved your book because of for me, this is a lifestyle. As a sports fan, I love hosting this podcast. I love talking with people like you. And I even remember in 2020, you came on the podcast and we talked about what life was like as a bookmaker during COVID. So those stories to me are everything that I love about sports betting.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a lot of books written about 2020, I'm sure. But I don't think any other is going to be written from the viewpoint I took, which was, you know, trying to run a sports book and in the life of a casino. And, you know, it wasn't just the sports book. There's all kinds of stuff going on. So, I think everybody that's read it so far has found it very interesting and very enjoyable, despite what happened in 2020.
So speaking of enjoyable, we're going to do a quick look back at the division round. And holy smokes, Batman, that was arguably the best weekend of football we have ever had. And on the podcast, it was sort of some good, some not so good. We lost on the Titans and Bucks, hit the over on the Bills Chiefs, and then I was able to live bet on the 49ers. And Chris, what I'm curious about is actually on the live betting side of things, because we saw massive opportunities. That Chiefs Bills game was like 100% for both teams numerous times during that game. What was that like for you guys from the sportsbook perspective?
Well, I have two people that I have given the live betting to and allowed them to kind of run it. And they've both done extremely well. So I know some people farm theirs out. There's some services that do that. We handle it ourselves. So it was pretty crazy during that, during the Bills game. And I was reading where some Chiefs fans actually turned off the TV or left the stadium with 13 seconds left. I mean, I can understand. I might've done the same thing, but that kind of symbolizes really what happened during the course of that game, which there was as many swings as I can remember, particularly in the last 2 minutes.
And I'm curious from your standpoint, how has the handle of the action been so far through the NFL playoffs?
Well, I mean, it was incredible. Last week, we did the most action we've ever done on a NFL championship weekend. Of course, having two games this week, I don't think we're going to get to quite that much, but the action has been fantastic. You got the 49ers and Rams, two West Coast teams. So a lot of Las Vegas people are, you know, it's just within close proximity. Plus we do everything at South Point at -110. So when we're at 3, we're the only -110 in the world, or 3.5, we're the only -110 in the world. I wouldn't say that now at 3.5. There's a couple 3.5s popping up. But certainly when we were at 3, and I know Jimmy Vaccaro's posted a couple big bets. We took 165,000 and went 100 on the money line on the Rams. And then, somebody took 3.5 for 220,000 to win 200 on the 49ers just a couple days ago.
So Chris, one thing I want to ask you about is we on Twitter often hear about the sharps and which side they're on. And we've got these massive bets. And you just told us people with massive bets on both sides of things. And I know earlier in the playoffs, it's like the Sharps got crushed here, but we have such few games that in a given week, we might have 16 games. So there's a lot of opportunities to pick and choose your spots. But now we've got smaller amounts of games. So therefore, you've got to make a stand one way or another. What can you say to people who are curious about the sharp action and that being the right side, but we're hearing them both on both sides right now. So then Joe Public's like, well, wait a second. Where am I supposed to be when the sharps are on both sides at different times?
Well, there's a couple of things drive me crazy. Well, Twitter, well, there's a lot of things on Twitter drive me crazy. But one is who the sharps are. Well, what number? You know, like I told you, the guy bet me, he's real sharp. The guy that bet me minus 165 to win 100 on the Rams. That was a great number. And I don't think you can find that 165 right now. 3.5, certainly at the time, 3.5 flat was very hard to find on the 49ers. And the guy that bet me 200,000, I know who he is. He's no dummy at all. So when they ask you who the sharps on, well, what number? And the other thing I've been saying for years, there's no wise guy union. You know that. I mean, different guys have a lot of money and come in on different sides, again, depending on the number. And, that very simplistic model of who the wise guys are, who the sharps on, it's too simplistic. And you just can't follow that unless you're attaching a number to it.
So sticking with that Rams 49ers game, Rams -3.5 over under 46. And I was a bit surprised to see the hook on this, and having the 49ers one, having beaten the Rams twice before, the 49ers having success against the Rams. Looking here, I believe Shanahan 7-3 against the spread against McVay, 11-3 against the spread as a road dog with Jimmy G. I was expecting that number 3 or maybe even 2.5. So when I saw the 3.5, it sat there and it seemed like such a logical bet. And I already bet the 49ers +3.5, but I do pause for a second because that extra half point seems so obvious and so juicy when you just build your narrative. Of course, we would like the extra hook. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there's two ways to look at it. I think if you look at, the season as a whole, I think the Rams in that sense deserve to be a 3.5-point favorite. If you're looking at the individual matchup, then they don't deserve to be a 3.5-point favorite. You said what McVay's record is against Shanahan. I think Shanahan's 6-0 with Garoppolo at quarterback. So those losses have been without Garoppolo. And Jimmy gets knocked a lot, and a lot of it is well-deserved. But he really does win a lot of games. So really there's two ways to look at it. And I would say, well, that's what makes horse racing. That's why we have betting. Nothing is just set in stone. I mean, what are you going to bet on the sun to rise in the east tomorrow? That seems like a lock, and other than that, there's not too many locks out there. It's going to be decided on the field of play and the way football works. It'll probably come down to one or two key plays, and it just depends on who makes it.
And of course, that's the interesting thing here, because we have two quarterbacks that everybody loves to hate. Everyone obviously loves to hate on Jimmy G, but then there's Matthew Stafford. For his entire career, he was on the Lions. Oh, if he only gets this big opportunity. And then we've seen time and time again where somehow he doesn't find a way to make it happen. But then last week he did. And Matthew Stafford so far has not been the problem. He's also been part of the solution. So it's an interesting conundrum that we're almost waiting for something bad to happen for Stafford or really either of these quarterbacks.
Well, once again, like I said, football is just a weird game, and we as Americans are kind of used to it. But when you stop and think about it, it's a totally bizarre scoring system. You make a big play in a basketball game, a big turnover, it could result in 2 or maybe 3 points. In a football game, you could have first and goal at the 1, and you throw a pick 6. I mean, that's a 14-point swing right there. Other sports just aren't like that. And, when we see upsets, and I go back to, like, the Bills and the Steelers in the first game of the season, Bills clearly a better team. The Steelers made a couple big plays, including a block punt, and wound up winning the game. And you could go back to last week. I think the Packers were clearly a better team during the course of the year than the 49ers. I mean, 49ers never scored with their offense. They blocked the punt, got in the end zone. The defense, of course, played great, and they wind up winning the game. And Robbie Gould, a guy who's been clutch for years, kicks a big field goal, and here they are advancing to the NFC Championship, and Green Bay's going home. And that's just the nature of football, which makes it great, really, for bookmakers, because there's a lot of randomness to it. But that is the nature of the game.
So that's actually a great transition to the Chiefs laying 7 at home, taking on the Bengals, over under in this one, 54.5. And when watching that Bengals-Titans game, it was the perfect game for the Bengals. From the Titans just kept on shooting themselves in the foot, turnover right out of the gate, turnover at halftime, turnover on the potential game-winning drive. But at the same time, 9 sacks on the offensive line. So you say, all right, well, are we expecting that one, Patrick Mahomes is going to turn the ball over 3 times? No, but one of the narratives this year has been when the Chiefs have not performed at their best is because Mahomes has turned the ball over. So we can't expect it's going to be 0, but we can't expect 3. But the offensive line issues concern me, because Kansas City can certainly get after the quarterback, and we're sitting there at that number at 7, a full touchdown. So of course you're like, I would love to get the value of getting a touchdown, but of course this is the Chiefs, who can score 21 points in the blink of an eye, which makes you feel completely uncomfortable. On my end, this is a live betting game for me, because I'm either going to be on the Chiefs -7, or if I'm on the Bengals, why would I take this now? Because I believe they will be down at some point during this game, possibly early.
Well, you're jumping way ahead, and it may actually come to fruition. I mean, I like your logic, but logic doesn't always come into play once you take the field. Again, there's two ways to look at this game. You know, the Chiefs played an overtime game, and you can go through the history of the NFL with overtime games. You can go through the history of the NFL and what happens after overtime games. The team that played overtime has a terrible record straight up the next week. So that's one way to look at betting the Bengals. The other way is to look at how badly the Bengals got beat up last week. And you say, is that going to carry over to this week? Because they clearly got dominated physically, but they did come up with a couple big plays that turned the game to their favor. So once again, there's two avenues to look at, and you can make a case for either team. I thought 7 was a really good number, so I have no strong opinion at all in this game, and whoever they bet me, I'll be more than comfortable going in with the other side.
So going into last week against the Titans, one of the things that I said is I'm a believer that teams oftentimes have to lose in order to win. So you look that you typically don't see a team go from no playoffs to winning the Super Bowl just like that. That all of a sudden, I guess Buffalo was supposed to be that this year. They got the taste of the AFC Championship game. Boom, that's going to catapult them to winning there. So we see the Chiefs, who have been in the Super Bowl numerous times, won the Super Bowl, taking on the Bengals and Joe Burrow being there for the first time. How much does experience matter in a matchup like this?
Well, once again, I think if you go back and look, you know, it does matter quite often, but there's also some cases where it didn't. You look at Joe Montana, who a lot of people compare Joe Burrow to Joe Montana, and I absolutely can see the comparison. When Montana won his first Super Bowl, I mean, he wasn't a rookie. I think he was a second year player at the time, maybe a third year. But they, you know, he performed well when a lot of people didn't expect it. He beat the Cowboys, a team that had been there numerous times, in, you know, one of the great games in NFL history with the catch with Dwight Clark. You know, so you can look at a game like that. You look at that Cowboy team, the one with Aikman, and I think they were a year earlier than what everyone expected. And that, you know, we look back now, and again, it's revisionist history. You think, yeah, of course it was a great, great team, but we certainly didn't know that at the time. So I think, you know, when you look back on those examples, and I'm sure there's many more that just don't come to my mind right away, you know, is Joe Burrow that guy? I kind of think he isn't, because I don't think the rest of the team is nearly up to what they need to be, particularly the offensive line, which we saw last week. But it may be a case where in years to come, you'll look back and say, well, of course, you know, Burrow got this job done. He's become one of the all-time great quarterbacks. And again, I'm jumping way ahead, but I do think this kid has something that's a little bit of a magic quality to him. He's a real winner. And when we look back, this may be the turning point of his career and for that team.
Yeah. And looking at this total 54.5, I mean, betting the under in a Chiefs game is not for the faint at heart. First game, 34-31. We're coming off a bajillion points last week, even though at one point everyone was sitting on that 2-point conversion for the Bills, because that's where the over was sitting at 54.5 there. And sometimes in life, I don't have to be the sharpest person in the world. I'm just going to root for the over in this, because that's what I want to happen. But of course, that's what everybody wants to do. My hesitation is the Chiefs keep on getting after Joe Burrow, that the Bengals are the team that does not put the points up there to cause this to go under.
Well, that, I got to tell you that the sharps, if we want to look at that for this weekend, they're definitely firmly on the under in both games. But again, they got about a half point or a point better than what we're looking at right now as far as the consensus line. But my sharpest players have been on the under in both games. And I think that does make a lot of sense, really.
Chris, really enjoyed jamming with you. Where can everybody connect with you?
Well, find me easily on Twitter at Andrews Sports, two S's there in the middle. And there's a link there to buy my latest book. You can still buy my earlier book too, which I think a lot of people have read and really liked. So anyway, that's where you can find me. And of course, I'm at the South Point, and a lot of people come by to say hello. And sometimes I'm just too busy, and I hope anybody that I've had the shun, I hate to use the word shun, but anybody that I haven't had a chance to meet, I hope they understand. Sometimes I'm just too busy. I can't come out from my office to say hello to them. But if I can, I certainly will. And I appreciate all the support that people have given me over the years. And anyway, it's just been a lot of fun. And I hope to continue for a while.
And I want to hear from you. What is your conference championship card look like? Do you have a best bet of the weekend? You can hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at Rob Cressy. Also make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money.
The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rope. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your black trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.